So, encouraging thoughts on justice and grace during Lent. There are those who actually believe that because of the greatness of their sin, as measured by a human perspective of justice, that they are irretrievably beyond the grace of God. There are people who believe that they are irretrievably beyond the grace of God. Conversely, there are those who actually believe that despite the greatness of their sin, as measured by a human perspective of grace, that they are permanently beyond the justice of God, that God is so gracious that they never have to be afraid of his justice. The truth is, it is impossible to out-sin God's grace. And it is impossible for God's justice not to be satisfied. So God's justice is satisfied completely by God's grace in Christ. To believe our sin is greater than God's grace diminishes the sacrifice of Christ. To believe our sin is irrelevant to God's justice mocks the sacrifice of Christ. What makes anything possible is Jesus Christ, Son of God, the perfect sacrifice, punished on the cross and cut off from the Father as an atonement for our sin for all of humankind. Therefore, we are called by Christ not only to be saved from fleshly depravity and brokenness, but to be holy as he is holy as well. So sometimes I bump into people for whom I think this is a reality. And so to sort of introduce that, Ada, would you come up for a minute? I mentioned this is Ada Dugan. Ada runs the ladle down in Ambridge that we have a fairly close relationship with you, don't we? Don't we, Aiden? Ada?
Yes.
This is
the ladle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, come on up here so we can hear you. But I wanted you to meet this wonderful person. She just gives so much energy and effort. Her husband says that he just can't keep up with her. Is that true? And she's so passionate about what she does. And if you saw her down there, you could just see her embrace all these people, for whatever reason, are there because they don't have enough food to eat. And she loves them, and she cares about them. It's run beautifully. It's run so well. They're very welcoming to us, very accommodating. And so, Ada, I just want to say thank you for the great work that you do in Ambridge, the great work.
Thank you. That is extremely humbling because it isn't the work that I do. It isn't the work really that any of us do, other than we are conduits of God's love. Amen. And we are called to do his ministry. Amen. To shed his love in the world. And one of the privileges that we have, and also just some, it's so awesome because it is about God, that we realize at moments we say yes to the opportunities that are in front of us. And God, a little over 11 years ago, almost 12, presented that opportunity for me to be part of what we call the ladle. But the ladle really is just a label for groups, for people with the same heart who share the love of Christ, who come together to serve him and his people. We are all the same. And the blessing is we get to serve people, and they're wonderful people, people who share the same human condition that we do. And we also get to serve with people who are the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. And your church is just right up there. I see so many wonderful faces, Carol Flanick, Barbara, Ruth, and so many that have brought a richness to our ministry. When I say our, it is our. Mm-hmm. It isn't mine, it's God's ministry. Mm-hmm. And we have 18 churches who come together. And I believe that that's really what the church is all about. It's we have to come together in corporate worship and be fed, but we have to go out then and share what we gain here and what we gain certainly through Scripture and the Word that He sends directly to us through prayer and through our walk with Him. We are blessed people. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I palaver. I love this church. And from the time they came through, we met over in your fellowship hall. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to know whether or not this ministry was for you, whether God was calling you to it. And I have to say, not only was God calling you to that ministry, you're mission-oriented, passionate people who are on fire for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's a privilege to work with you and to know you. And I look forward to more. And my work has brought me to wonderful people like Paul McDaniels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, which is where we're going to go now.
Yes.
Ada, thank you for
you're welcome.
For all that you do again. Sometimes, you know, you can't be so much concerned about your ability as your availability, you know. And so, and Ada and so many other people like her are just, thank you for being obedient. We can't do anything without Jesus, but Jesus wants to be obedient with what he wants us to do. So that's been wonderful. So I have so when we were down there last time, we were getting ready to serve, and there was this This young man who was at a piano. It was a broken down, clunky piano that probably had stopped more than one hockey puck or something like that over the years. And this man, Paul McDaniel, was sitting there and just sort of lost in the moment, lost in what how he was playing and singing, and while things were going on around him. And you just couldn't miss, despite the fact that the piano was horribly out of tune, you couldn't miss the beauty of his music. So I asked Ada about him, and she introduced me, and I said to her, she's sort of like his agent now, you know. So I said, Ada, would you work with me to try and get Paul to come to our church? And I said, really, I'm thinking about Palm Sunday because I heard a little bit of his story. And, you know, think about this with Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, think of this, and I was praying about this earlier. Think of yourselves as Jerusalem. And Jesus is coming into the triumphal entry and you welcome him into you. But think about when he calls you to something that's difficult or painful or inconvenient, and then we create within our hearts the Via Dolorosa, right? We don't want him to tell us what to do, and so we reject that part of him in our life. Don't we do this? Isn't this true? We are both the triumphal entry and the Via Dolorosa all combined. And so it seemed to me that as I heard a little bit about Paul's story, about how Christ has worked into his life, and as he shared with me, as I can share too, some of the little Via Dolorosas in his life as well as ours, it seemed like it just would be a great Palm Sunday service. So Paul, why don't you come on up here, and come on right up here, and this is Paul. Give Paul a hand, would you please?
Thank you.
Paul lives in Aliquippa. And he volunteers at the Ladle, he volunteers at the Salvation Army, as well as on Uncommon Grounds, and he does some great work there. And he's got quite a story. So, Paul, why don't you just stand over here and tell us, what did Jesus save you from?
From everything, basically. I mean, you know, from the normal things that young people do, from the roads that we've been on. I've been on a lot of roads, a whole lot of roads, and some of them weren't good. I've been around Hollywood people, know the current president, knew the president before him. I met him, you know, I hung with Obama for 3 days.
Is that right?
Yeah, wow. For 3 days, yeah. And in fact, he was talking about food stamps. He said, what would you like to see? One of the things, well, back then, I said food stamps. I'd like to see, I would personally like to have some food stamps, because they had stopped single people from having food stamps at this time. And so when I was talking to him, he said that, I was serious. I was saying it jokingly, but I was very serious because, you know, the food stamp program helps a lot of people. Well, but I've just met a whole lot of people, and you know, and then you go down. So I met a lot of people in the Hollywood. They had some of the same problems I had, you know, back then, the drug thing, and a lot of them was, you know, involved in the drug life, and at that time I was too, and you know, and just, you know, I learned a lot of things. You know, it was easy to. In fact, I almost got shot twice. You know, a gun went off and almost got twice, and just crazy things was happening on the fast road. You know, things that I desired to be around, people that I desired to be around. You know, it was all, the devil always set you up. He always give you. But some of this is the grace of God allowed me to get involved with these things, so I can see where other people were. You know, just because you got a big name, a lot of money, don't mean that you don't do the same things that people with a little name and a little bit of money do. You have more money to work with. And that's just part of that story. But, I was telling the pastor here, I was saying, you know, the Lord laid on my heart one day to say, tell fathers to take your children to church because it's important, you know. People don't understand that it's nice the mothers take their children to church, and that's beautiful. But when the father make a stand and take his kids to church, it's altogether something different. And I got this one memory of when my father took us to church, the one or maybe twice he took us, but the one time I do remember when he took us to church, and it was special. That's why it still hangs with me today. So, I was talking to these guys last night, and I was saying, you know, sometimes you don't want to say some things, you don't know when to say it or how to say it, but it's important that fathers take their children to church, you know. And I think the greatest Father's Day gift that a son could give to his father is to invite his father to come to church with him, or vice versa. You know that this, it's important. I was telling him also the story that I remember once. A family member of mine was actually going to kill me. Had a tire thumper. I don't know if y'all know what a tire thumper is. To those who don't, it's a hard piece of wood with some steel at the top of it. It ain't no joke. And he came to where I was at, and it was because I had gave his girlfriend $3. She was going, she told me that her mother was sick and she had to go see her mom, and she lived in Detroit, and her mother was having this operation and stuff. Well, the guy, he was at work, and she was leaving him. Well, I didn't know that at the time. I discovered that when we got on the bus. She convinced me to ride to Pittsburgh with her to take the bus. So I went up there with her, and the story she told me, I told her that you better not never come back here again, because he would have. His girlfriend, and he have another lady in another room right next to the room that they were in. And so, you know, it was a heartwarming, it hurt me. I know how she felt. I couldn't imagine how she felt. I know how I felt when she told me the story. And I remember when the person approached me, the family member that came up to me, because they had asked me, had I seen her, and I said, I told him the story about she. I didn't tell him that. I told her she better not come back here, or she told me why she was leaving. I ain't tell him none of that, but I did tell him that she said she was going to the hospital, going to Detroit to go see her mom. And then when I said I loaned her $3, he said, "I'm gonna kill you." So he came to where I was living at. He came in the house. He was had the tire thumping. And the way my mom had her couch set up, I was able to grab the pillow and off the couch and fall to the floor and cover my head. Well, while and this guy was strong, built, strong, track star. He wasn't no joke. But I had given my life to the Lord at this time. And I remember falling on the floor, covering my head with the pillow, and grabbing the end of the tire thumper, the steel part. And we was like having this conversation. He said, I didn't tell you to give it to her. No. I say, look, I'd have gave it to you if you'd have asked me for it. And so the conversation went on for a minute. And at this time, my mom was on the phone, but she had hung up to call my aunt who lived right down the hill. So I didn't know that, though. I'm on the floor calling, Ma! Ma! I was scared. I was really, my life was going before me. And that wasn't working. But I remember that I had gave my life to the Lord. And I started saying, Jesus! Jesus! And so some reason he got up. He stumped me, but he left out that house because at that time I knew who to call on. I remember who to call on. See, kids don't know who to call on in these days. They don't know these two little kids that died in a fire in Pittsburgh somewhere, two little twins, they went upstairs after the fire started. Now, they did not know the mom wasn't home, and I'm sorry about that whole situation. I'm sorry for the mom. You know, everybody make mistakes and do things wrong, you know. The kids went upstairs, probably to where their mother always saying when she's upstairs and she's home, she's saying, they're downstairs. What are y'all doing down there? Y'all get up here. So they come upstairs. So when trouble, because they knew it was a sign of trouble when their mother spoke, they go upstairs after the fire started, no mom there, but that's where their safety net was, upstairs. And they went upstairs. They didn't know who to call on, you know. So that's why I say, fathers, please take your children to church. Take them to the house of God. So in the time of trouble, your children will know who to call on. Because, you know, by the grace of God, God had changed my life, saved my soul at that time, and I knew. You know, my mother couldn't help me. She was at work. Even though I had called her, she was at work. There was nothing she could do for me. So only one I knew who to call on that I called on when I used to get a whooping when I was a kid. You ever get a whooping? When I was getting a whooping, I said, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. So I always had that thought of Jesus in my heart, even way before I had accepted him as my personal savior. But I knew who, at this time, I knew who to call on. I called on the man who I was calling on when I was getting that whooping. But see, if you don't take your children to church, they don't know. If you don't tell them about the Lord, they don't know who to call on. And it's very important that you do these things, you know. And that's just one of the stories that, you know, I thank God that he brought me through. I thank God that I'm able to tell somebody about this story. I didn't never tell the family member that I tell people. But at the same time, it's necessary. I can tell it because it happened to me. Amen. So I can tell this story. So please, if you know somebody who got children, tell them to take their children to church. It ain't going to hurt them none. You know, the fathers, if you take your children to church, that means you're going too. So you need to go. We all need to go be in God's house. And the reason why I just say the fathers, because the father is the man in the house. He's the fixture at the house. The mother is the chase keeper, but he's the leader. You know, everybody in the house is supposed to come under his subjection. You know, so, you know, I just want to once again say, fathers, if you got children and you don't take them to church, take your children to church because it's important. They won't be standing on the corner and get shot down. Where I live at, people get shot. People get killed. You know, it's not like an everyday occurrence. It's not like you got to be scared to come to Alacoba. It's not like that. But people have got killed standing on the corner at nighttime. And all you have to do in the daytime, if you lead your children to the Lord, maybe they won't be standing out there on the corner. You know? And that's the part that worries me. That's what bothers me. I had a friend who died, who got shot down, and I wish I had said what I would have said to him earlier when I had seen him, but I never got a chance to see him alive again, you know? So I think it's important that, you know, that not just fathers, mothers, tell your children the same thing. Tell them no sometimes. You know, there's nothing wrong with you telling your children no. That might save their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
We're so thankful that the Lord did save you in the way that he did many times. Now, don't go back to your seat because you're going to bless us with your music now, aren't you, huh?
Yes, sir.
Now, Paul has written, have you written some of these songs?
All of them.
All of them. So why don't you, and I would just encourage Paul to do the same, just get lost in the beauty of the music and the words and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as he spoke to me when I heard him singing. And that's going to be the balance of our service. And so I would just love for you to hear our brother in that way, okay? Let's go.
The name of the song is called More Love. I had been in jail. I think I was in the Penn Pavilion at this time, and this is when this song came to me. Quite a few songs I wrote in jail. But this song is called More Love, and it says, you're giving me peace, you've given me joy, you've given me more love than I've ever known before. Can y'all say that with me? You've given me peace, you've given me joy, you've given me more love than I've ever known before. That's the chorus, and when it comes up, I need y'all to sing it with me. I had no place to go or no one to help me or see me through. I was out on my own. I was living on a roam. You know that I didn't even have a decent place to call my home. But then you, Jesus, you saw just what I needed. Then you came and my hungry soul, you defeated. And you've given me peace. You've given me joy. You've given me more love than I've ever known before. You've given me peace. You've given me joy. You've given me more love than I've ever known before. Oh, I have been changed. I've been rearranged. Now I am no longer the same. No, no, no. I've been washed in the blood of the crucified one. I've been redeemed. Well, I've never been so happy than I am right now today. I have been changed. I have been rearranged. I am no longer the same. 'Cause you've given me peace. You've given me joy. You've given me more love than I've ever known before. You've given me peace. You've given me joy. You've given me more love than I've ever known before. Thank you.
You've given me peace. You've given me joy. You've given me more love than I've ever known before. You've given me peace. You've given me joy. You've given me more love than I've ever known before. You've given me peace down in my heart. And I know you'll never part or go away.
God bless you. This next song is called Tell Me. I was in Penn Pavilion again. And, you know, I was just singing. Sometimes you just want the Lord to tell you what to do. You know, I think this is like one of my shortest songs, but this, I just wanted the Lord to tell me what to do. And I started singing this song down and working on this song. Now, I'm going to just let you know that I'm not a real piano player. I'm really not. But the Lord, he can use anybody. You know, if he can use a donkey, he can sure use me. So the name of this song is called Tell Me. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I need to tell me, where do you want me to go? I need you to guide me. Lord, from everything that you brought me through, Lord, I want to say how much I thank you for bringing me through the darkest storms and bringing me through without any harm. You've given me peace that I've never ever known before. The day you let me walk through salvation's door. Now I can never ever repay you for all that you've done. But Lord, what can I do for you since my new life has begun? Oh Lord, what do you want me to do? I need you to tell me. Where do you want me to go? I need you to guide me today. Lead me all the way today. What do you want me to do? I need you to tell me. Lord, where do you want me to go? I need you to guide me.
today. Lead me all the way today.
I would thank you. God bless you. I would thank you. Really like to first give honor to God and to this pastor here and to this church, to Miss Ada and her husband and Adina, and to every just to everybody. You know, I'm really thankful to be here today. I am thankful for a God that loves me unconditionally, loves us unconditionally. Somebody who don't care about the things that I've done, but is still willing to forgive me if I do something right now. Still willing to forgive me for these things. And we serve a mighty God. Do we serve a mighty God? We serve a mighty God. This song called, this is like one of my favorite songs. It's called Mighty God. You know, it just talks about, basically these stories, these songs just tell my story about different stages in my life, you know, from where you come from to where you are now and perhaps to where you, if the grace of God allows, to where we get a chance to go. Mighty God. Only he could tear it up. Now I'm gonna start this over. Cut my fault. I'm sorry. Only he could calm the raging beast, and only he could tame the rugged seas. Only he could make these wonderful mountains and hills. And who do you think put all those leaves upon the tree? Who made the valleys so deep? And who watched over you last night after you finally fell asleep? And who woke you up this morning at 6 a.m.? It was no clock, it wasn't you, it wasn't me, but it was
Now, I don't know if you have ever heard of what a mighty, mighty God we serve. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. Who told the flowers over in the fields to grow? And who told the moon when it gets dark that I want you to glow? Him who dried those eyes when the tears come streaming down. And him who made the deaf to hear when to them there was no sound. Only some of the greatest miracles that you have ever heard of what a mighty, mighty God we serve. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. What a mighty, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty, yeah, God we serve. And remember when you got sick and the doctor said you would never get well? Now you're up and about with a great praise and a story to tell of his mercies, of his grace, of his love. Oh, to tell somebody about the good news you've heard of what a mighty, 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 mighty God we serve. What a mighty, 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 mighty God we serve. What a mighty, mighty, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty, oh, mighty, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, and God bless you. And back into the hands of Pastor Rich. Receive him by saying amen. 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 Amen.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us and being with us this morning. And really, I hope that the passion and the words that he shared with us this morning, you and I take with us, and we allow them to live with us, because it is a mighty God. I mean, imagine that the God of the universe, remember that black dot I talked about? The God of the universe who is outside of that black dot reaches through all of the superclusters and the clusters and the galaxies and the solar systems, because he loves us and he will not let us go. He's not only mighty because he's so big, he's mighty because he can become so small.